What is my next challenge in daring to be human?
How do I connect with life?
How can I let go of my need for fixed answers in favor of aliveness?
How do I live free from the experiences that shaped me?
How can we be the change the world needs right now?
Join us weekly for stony conversations about life.
It is our mission to allow life itself to reveal to us the answers. Welcome to Chasing Thoughts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to season 3, episode 2 of the Chasing Thoughts podcast.
Damn.
Keith and I have decided to do seasons by when we felt a shift. So you'll notice season 1 and then an energetic shift, season 2 and an energetic shift. We're at season 3 now with kind of a new vibe as we sink into each other and sink into ourselves. It's been good.
Yeah, I like the new look, dude. You're like all laid back. And like whenever I edit these things too, I feel like a T-Rex because like all my hand motions are like this. So yeah, I got to build that frame out so I can build like a little podcast place like you.
Yeah, I changed around my office and I got a little cart, like a kitchen cart. And I have my light and my, you know, all the things that I need. So I just roll it out. And then I'm set up for shooting videos, and then I can put it back in the closet, right? And it's really easy. So we'll see
that.
But I was tired of my face taking up the entire screen when we went to 9x16 for Instagram. So how was your week?
It's been good. Yeah. Lot of shifts going on, man. Like you're talking about like the energy shift, like doing more work. Cause I always looked at the video production and stuff as like necessary, but nonsense, you know, like I didn't want to do it. And then learning and taking on this new sort of mindset and when I say the word creator, I'm not talking about a content creator. I'm talking about like a creator of life, you know, my own life. I now have all of a sudden motivation to do that stuff, you know, like finally the message that I've had, you know, for veterans, for people that suffer with PTSD has now connected with the engine to kind of push me forward, which is so cool that it's just that one change of frame, like mindset shift that made all that work.
Yeah, I love that because it's not enough just to have passion. Everybody's passionate about something, but you also have to align your mindset so that it's easy. It's like a channel, right? For that passion to flow naturally into whatever it is that you're creating.
Yeah. And fear has always held me back. Fear of what if it sucks? What if I'm not a success? You know, what if all of these questions of like, what if? And when I changed that thought from I this is my business to I'm a creator of my life, that fear melts away. It becomes so insignificant.
Yeah.
You know, it still rears its head up, but it's meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then even deciding to do like this stuff. So I took not necessarily a microdose, but not like a major dose, like right in between. And then just smoked a little bit. So yeah. And all of that just seems so insignificant to what I've discovered in my own life.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you start to realize how powerful you really are in your own life, because this is what's been going on for me this week too, is the more I identify with being a powerful creator. And I'm not talking about that in the ego sense where I'm like, ooh, I can create this and that. I'm talking about we are all powerful creators because that's the way nature was made, right? We're just not using it correctly because we don't understand how consciousness and the brain and the body work together. But as I learn more about that and I practice the things that help me feel aligned, all that mind chatter of not being pretty enough or good enough or smart enough. It just gets quieter because I'm identifying right with the good stuff. And man, does that feel good.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, it's like looking at like a funhouse mirror and seeing all the reflections that show us all the things that we judge ourselves for, and then just shifting our gaze like just by one little degree, and then just seeing reality. And it is the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah, and like you said, the negative feelings still come up, but what I noticed when they came up this last week is, and this was so cool, my self-trust had grown, obviously, because my thought was, oh, that's okay, these are bad thoughts, like I can handle it, I'll get back on it tomorrow, I'll feel great. Like it was a blip where in the past I would have probably said, oh, these are bad thoughts. That means I'm on the wrong path. I can't do that. I would have leaned into those thoughts. But my trust in myself to be able to handle it was bigger than the bad thought.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And
It's the coolest. Yeah. 'Cause I like throughout the week, I felt those old patterns, those old thoughts, like try to break through, like I'm reading Stephen King's right now, Salem's Lot. So I'm just like picturing like a vampire, like his hand coming out of the dirt, coming back to life. And it just can't, like, I mean, well, I don't want to say that it can very easily if I feed it. But having this shift and seeing it a different way, it's so easy to feed the part that's pulling me forward.
Yeah, I feel like I'm kind of coming on the other side of what's been an uncomfortable couple weeks of
Yeah.
change. It's like, okay, maybe it's going to be smooth sailing for a while before I, encounter the next big thing that I'm going to tackle.
Yeah, I want to see like some like calm seas for a little bit, man. Yeah,
Yeah.
before we like jump into the next phase of uncomfortable growth.
Yeah. Yeah, yesterday I just want to give a quick plug for this because it's what we're talking about. I listened to the Know Thyself podcast, which is a podcast I really like, and Andre was interviewing Dr. Bruce Lipton. Do you know who that is?
I've heard of him.
He wrote The Biology of Belief.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that book.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and his show is exactly what we're talking about, but he explains it from a scientific way. Why that works, like how you learn in your subconscious, how you learn in your conscious, how those brains talk to each other, the how your brain and the things that you think affect how your DNA and your genetic coding is processing. Like it is the most fascinating thing. So if you really want to nerd out on it, like if you're listening to this, go check that out because it goes really deep into how it works so that you can get better at sort of hacking your own system and being a human. I don't want to say the right way, but like the effective way, the way that we were built to be, where we're aligned and we're using our consciousness, our subconscious, our brain, all are all in harmony.
Yeah, and there's so much that tries to like disharmonize that way of life. And like we talked about last week, what is that way to sort of live in harmony, but also in the culture that we've created. It's so hard.
So hard. And not only with the big stuff that you're talking about, but I'll to share how I'm struggling with this right now. I absolutely love fantasy TV and like crazy weird shows. And I've been watching a lot of things that have a tendency to be more dark because a lot of those stories have a lot of darkness. I started watching American Gods yesterday. Have you ever seen that? It's based on the
No.
Simon book. Oh, it's so surreal and weird. And the premise is that like, as people came to America, they brought their gods with them. So you have like Christian gods and Egyptian gods and right, African gods. And these gods now live in America, but they're like hardly powerful because nobody believes them anymore. So you like encounter them, and on the street sort of thing, right? And they're like, it's like a story about like the down and out gods.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it's so fun, but it's pretty dark. And because I'm so sensitive and empathetic, I pick that up, right? And I feel a little heavier. So it's like I love it and it brings me joy. And there's a darkness that I'm taking on. And I'm like, ooh, what is this exchange, right? Trying to judge how much of a place it has in my life. Is that something I can watch once a week? Oh, maybe. Is this something I can watch every night? No way in hell. That would really impact me. But even something as simple as that is hard to keep a balance.
And I think I don't I haven't looked into this, so I don't know how true it is or anything like that, especially in today's day and age with like AI, you can make, and the deep fake stuff, you can make anything look like anything. But they were showing particles that were entangled, and they look like the yin yang symbol.
Yeah.
I hope it's true because that would be so freaking cool. But regardless of that, I mean, we are both dark and light creatures, so I think we need some of that dark. Like we can't banish all of it, you know, because that makes us, I mean, something we're not. You know what I mean? There's no, we're not perfection, so we have to have that balance of that darkness. And I because I'm the same way. I think TV shows are a great way to get that. You know, like, but if you watch too much of it, like you can feel how it starts to affect you.
Yeah, right. So you have to be aware of yourself so that you can judge where that line is.
Just sort of look like waking up to like, or understand. I hate that term, waking up, because I know so many people that use it and it's like so culty. But like you just like you said, becoming aware of who you are, like seeing that we're not our thoughts, we're something so far bigger and greater than that.
Yeah, one of the things that Bruce Lipton was talking about in that show was the power of when you're falling asleep and your brain's going from whatever your primary brain wave is, I can't think of it right now, and then it goes to theta waves and then it goes to delta waves. Those theta waves are like your high programming waves. That's why meditation's powerful. That's why everything you learn as a kid stays with you because kids are in theta till like age 7, right? So it's like imprinting, imprinting, imprinting. And so he said, if you do a meditation about like beliefs you're trying to change in that first 15 minutes when you're falling asleep, it's a really good way to like reprogram your pathways. So one of my sort of assignments that I gave myself for this weekend is to do a custom meditation, which is something I love to do for myself, write and speak my own about the beliefs that I'm changing right now and just kind of play around with it as a tool and see how much it works. Because that's how I like doing things. I'm like, ooh, somebody I respect said that if I listen to a meditation, right, I'm going to do that for 2 months and see what happens. And we'll see if it's right. You know, I love testing things in my own life.
That's the thing I fell in love with, like just experimenting on myself, because I got so tired of hearing the, I guess, I mean, the dumbest shit that I've ever heard from the VA, to deal with PTSD, and it opened my mind to like this whole new way of thinking about it. You know, I mean, because everybody has trauma, you know, and we tend, where we've learned to judge ourselves off of other people's trauma, like it's some type of competition, you know, but it's not. Like whatever we've experienced, the worst thing that we've experienced fills up all of us. You know, Viktor Frankl talks about it being like the nature of gas. No matter what size container you put it in, eventually the gas expands to fill up that entire container. And that's what trauma does. So to me, like PTSD is a part of life for everybody. You know, and being able to like find things that I align with completely, so it doesn't feel like work anymore. And that was that shift when I started experimenting with myself. I didn't have to cope with things, you know. I lost the need to do that, because now it's like I said, it's not work. It's just something I want to do. That drive just magically appears.
And I think that's kind of a key piece that I've been thinking about that's similar to what you're saying is people want to work out more and they want to meditate and they want to do whatever it is, XYZ. But if you don't fall in love with yourself, that's always going to be a chore. Right? But if you fall in love with yourself, and the more you fall in love with yourself, working out, eating right, meditating, like taking the time that you need for integration, those things just become easy because you love yourself. There's no other choice but to do those things for yourself, like you would your child, right?
Yeah, and like all of those things. Yeah, like all of those things, like looking for, like when people talk about like doing it, making a habit, you're gonna deal with it for 2 weeks and then it'll be easy. And I'm like, done that, didn't work for me. And then find your why. If your why is big enough, then you'll have no trouble doing it. And I'm like, all right, tried that, didn't work for, like there was still a disconnect. And the disconnect was how I felt about myself. You know, I didn't deserve to have my voice heard. I didn't deserve to be seen, to be heard, to have a message. My message was always wrong, you know, and it was because of a deep-rooted belief system that was instilled by other people that I got nothing for, you know, at this point in my life.
Yeah, good stuff. It's been really fun to deepen into a new space, and I am so grateful.
I'm excited to see what's actually going to be coming like our way. I already have like some like really freaking cool people that have said like they're going to come on and stuff, like people we completely align with. Yeah, it's just going to be so interesting to like jump into this new chapter.
And I think that we've done a real good job these last couple weeks of modeling like what it's like when you feel like you need to pivot, you make that decision to pivot, you go through a couple uncomfortable weeks, and then you know in your body when it's ready to jump in on the other side. You're like, oh, okay, like we're ready to, and I think so often in my past, I haven't allowed for that much space. I think that if something's not working, I need to have the answer and be doing the next thing the next day. Right. And it just doesn't work that way. Change takes weeks and months, and it's an integration process depending on the size of the change. And to rush that, it means that you're not bringing as much of a change and transformation to the other side when you rush it. You're missing out.
Yeah, and our society has grown to this point where it's made being uncomfortable a disorder. You know, I mean everything, even religion, you know, like I remember like if you deal with depression, anxiety, it's because you got to find Jesus, you got to find whatever the God is, you know. And then once you do, it should all go away. And it never did for me, you know. It's we need that period of being uncomfortable. There's no growth without pain. You know, I mean, if you think of hope as like a candle, like in the distance, like you're not going to see that candle if it's daylight, you know. But in the night, in the darkness, that candle is going to light up. In fact, there's this really cool archaeological site in Barkhamsted called the Lighthouse. And it's just such a cool story. I think my professor or somebody else published a book about it. But so in Wethersfield, Connecticut, there was a farmer, and his daughter turned away every suitor that came to him to ask for her hand. Like nobody was good enough. So finally he was like, the next person that comes, that's who it is. Like that's who she's marrying. And it turned out to be this indigenous guy that came to help work the land and get hired and all that. And so the father was like, no, but the daughter fell in love with him. So they ran to this place in Barkhamsted, Connecticut, and they built a village there for outcasts, for people that weren't accepted. The father sent posses after them, but they like dyed her hair black. Her skin was tan because she was in the sun and everything. So they didn't recognize her. Then the father like sent people that actually knew her would be able to recognize her out, and they had to hide her and stuff. And it grew into this huge site where they took in a lot of people from all over, escaped captives, all kinds of stuff. It was the coolest thing. But I got into that. I forgot exact everything I was talking about before. Said about darkness, right?
That's what happens when you get like deep into a story.
Yeah. Whatever I was talking about, I was like, reminded me of that. And I was like, that was such a cool story. And then that is completely gone.
So, what would you say were some belief systems that you changed in the last couple of weeks? Like, what is your mind telling you that's different or new?
That in order to find. All right, so just like me, how a lot of the things that I heard did not resonate with me. My message does not have to resonate with everybody. And the more of those people that I find that it doesn't resonate with, the more I'll find the few that does. Like we think about small percentages as like a drop in the bucket, but compared to different things, just like we talked about before, like in between every number, there's an infinite amount of numbers in between there. So depending on what our outlook, our perspective is of that small percentage, it's either nothing or it's everything. And so that has kind of switched for me, like seeing that I don't need to resonate with everybody. And the more people that are telling me I'm an idiot, the more I'm going to find the people that it resonates with.
Yeah, I feel like this experiment of regarding life as work, I mean, life and work as art, right? Like trying to change that. It's changed it from me to more of a being. Like it used to be that in my head, there were so many things I had to do, right? I have to do all my social media videos. It's part of my job. And if I'm gonna make it as an entrepreneur, I have to do this, right? I have to do the freaking dishes. Why do I have to do the dishes every single day? There's more dishes. Right? But it can get sort of onerous. And I noticed as I started regarding things as art, it really clicked when I first went to make my first social media video as an art project versus a chore. Huge shift in what I created, how I felt. And so I started doing that with other things, right? Cleaning the cat box, going on errands, just really living into like being in my life. And it was almost like this idea of it being a chore or something I had to do was getting in between me and my actual experiencing of the moment. And so that also played into my belief about being a fraud, because when I'm doing something, right, then there's a chance there's a gap there between me and the thing. But when I started to just show up in my videos and I noticed that fraud was not there as much. So I don't think I totally have this new shift yet, but those are the things that have kind of been playing around shifting in the way that I operate and in my mindset is, yeah, instead of a list of things to do, just really allowing myself to live into each moment, whatever that looks like. And it's changing me. It's weird.
Yeah, it's like going off that intuitive feeling instead of like the thought. Like even how many times we shut that down, like when you use the word onerous. Like I hate the fact that my vocabulary is so limited. So I want to exchange, and when you said that, I was like, dude, it's a fucking good word, and I wanted to say that. And intuitively, like that would have just came out without any thought, without any, and then my but like no, can't go. She's speaking. Be polite, like the almost like the character. We lose being ourselves, I think, a lot of times, because it's a pendulum, right? There's no balance. I think balance is a fallacy. It's a pendulum that's going to swing. And when you're trying to step into this new thing, it's easy because you see so many characters, so many people that it seems as if putting on the character is equal to them being like their
Yes.
authentic self.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna like dreadlock my beard and start wearing like cloaks and like that's just not me. You know what I mean? So stepping into that authenticity, that is it's so hard to do. But it like you said, I don't know, there's just like a such a cool feeling about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's really using different parts of your brain and different chemicals in your body. And right, as we go deeper and deeper into science, we start to understand that. And then it makes it seem less woo-woo because we understand, oh, this is real stuff. This is actually happening. We are impacting the way we feel. We are impacting the diseases we get in our physical body with our thoughts and our feelings and our belief systems.
Yeah, dude, that just reminded me because I was just checking my phone right before we went on a comment come up on a TikTok video I made, and I just had a bad feeling about this comment, and it turned out to be one of the best comments I've ever gotten. So I clicked on it and it said, "Herpes has left my body because of Dr. something." I'm like, "What the fuck?" So yeah, like we're impacting the disease in our body, and apparently someone, this doctor is curing herpes, which is such a cool thing.
Gotten those kind of comments too, and I'm thinking, is this marketing and does it work? Like, are they just going and putting that comment on 100 pages or speaking a lot? What's happening here?
According to my Facebook, which I don't like, I don't like Facebook at all. But I'm like, eh, whatever. It's just one more avenue to put stuff out, right? But if it wasn't for people telling me about all these different doctors that got a microdosing and that cured them of everything, like as far as I know, everybody in the United States is now microdosing because of Dr. Paul Pox or something on Instagram that's sending them these pills and stuff. And I'm like, dude, like that's all the comments I get.
So, what about going forward? What is a belief system or a mindset shift that you want to change or you're still wrestling as you move into more like action in this new phase?
Relaxing into myself. I just saw a video, a guy that I had found when I first started this whole journey, definitely knows how to do, like as far as the video production type stuff, like putting yourself out there. He's a Broadway actor, so like he knows how to do it. And he was doing a video about your engagement numbers and how when you're just doing this and talking to the camera and stuff like you're but so you gotta like be reflective and do it. And he's doing like all this, and I'm like, that's just not me. I sit in my garage and I smoke weed. I can't do this with my hands because you'll see my pipe and everything, and so just being the stoner, like I'm done looking for people to emulate. And I'm just gonna allow myself to bloom, to
Love that.
blossom.
Yeah. And I think what I hear you saying is root and blossom at the same way, like be fully in your body and shoot down roots. And I love that idea that your branches can only grow as wide as your roots are wide, right? It's equal. And so really settling into who you are and at the same time, blooming up.
And finding people that I resonate like Jason Silva, but when I was looking at him and thinking of like I want to emulate, I want to be able to be a storyteller like him, I was judging myself for my vocabulary. I was judging myself for a lot of stuff that he does that I don't know how to do. So instead of wanting to emulate that, being like, I just love the way he tells stories, but I got to tell stories my way. And it's so easy to get caught up in trying to tell stories the way other people do.
I think the big thing that I want to tackle is I've really been working a lot on self-love with a tremendous amount of growth. But I notice when I think about, pitching somebody in their IMs or, going out and get another client, marketing here, networking here, there's still this belief and this blockage that says something like, I'm going to annoy people. People are going to wish that I wasn't talking to them, right? Whatever, version of they're not going to like me comes into my brain. And what I want to feel is, hey, look, I'm a gift. And if it's not the right gift for that person, that's fine, right? Like, I don't control their feelings. I don't have to try to convince them of their feelings or change myself so that they, right, all that kind of stuff. So while I've gotten clearer and clearer on my own connection to self and self-love, there's still this lingering separation from other, right? And that I would like to see soften a bit or come closer to me so that it wasn't even really part of my considerations, right? I can't wait till the day, like I was saying about working out. Working out's been so easy for me lately because I'm like, yay, I love my body, right? I'm feeling so happy inside myself. I want to feel that happy that I'm like, oh, Keith, I have to share something with you. Oh my gosh, right? I saw this video.
Yes.
I love this video so much. I have to offer you my marketing services because I love you and I want you to do so good, right? Where it's not even, I'm just so happy to be in this world that there's nothing in between me and other people. So that's my next big mindset that I'm hoping to tackle is allowing other people to love me and loving them and taking away all the ideas that are stuck in there right now, blocking.
Yeah. And those just, I mean, we both have a similar origin story, with religion. And those are some very deep-rooted, unconscious things that still pop up. I just heard this story and it was sad. It's just so sad. So a friend of mine, I always play pool Friday nights and then sometimes like on Wednesday nights and stuff. And I didn't go this past Wednesday, but a friend of mine was telling me that they saw somebody from this old church we went to. And when the guy, supposedly the guy didn't recognize, but who knows, but then after he did recognize him, he went on for like 10 minutes telling him why it was okay for him to be playing pool because he couldn't before because he had kids in his house and he didn't want to be a bad example to them. So now that the kids are grown and out of the house, it's okay for him to play pool because he has no one to be an example for. And I was like, what a sad necessity to have to validate why you want to do something that you are putting your own message on, your own like outlook on that this is bad.
Yeah.
It's a game of pool.
Yeah, I love that story because that actually really hits home with me for what I just said. When I interact with other people, I feel like I have to have a reason. I have to prove why I'm there. So if it's in a sales situation or a networking situation, I have to prove that I'm good enough as an entrepreneur or, a service provider. And if it's a friendship, I have to prove that I'm good enough as a friend. But I'm always, it's that reasoning, thinking that I am not enough just on my own or like just going to do it. Hey, I can go play pool because I want to. I can take a nap after this if I want to, right? That I don't have to have reasons for every goddamn thing I do. Mind loves to play that game of like, okay, prove that you're good enough to take a nap right now. Did you work hard enough?
And it's easy to pick on religion, like that, to use that because they use that as a mechanism, a mechanism to control. But our minds do it regardless.
Yeah.
I don't know, like from just stuff I've read, like, I mean, I think some really good theories that like life, and again, I don't want to say life is easy. There's horrible things that go on in life, but it's not as we were when we were a prey species, when we were hunter gatherers. You know, life has gotten so easy. We make psychological threats, and those psychological threats that have gotten so ingrained, we see them everywhere. You know, and then we don't want them. We don't want to feel anxiety. We don't want to feel the bad things. So we turn those into threats themselves, where it's just part of the spectrum of emotions that we have.
I think I love the concept and idea that if you're really anxious or worried about something, if you try to protect yourself from the bad, your brain is telling you that means you're gonna do better when something bad happens, right? You're gonna be smarter. But that's not true. The opposite.
Not at all.
If you are in a place of like groundedness and you haven't been anxious and you've been full of joy and presence and love, when a problem comes, you'll be able to handle it in that space. Versus if you're living in anxiety and worry and stress, when a problem comes, you'll handle it from that space. So
Yes.
your brain is telling you to do the exact opposite thing that you should be doing, right? And that just goes to show that the brain, it shouldn't be the leader of your whole life. It should be one piece
Yes.
that you're using.
Yes, dude. That explains like everything. You just completely encapsulated like the whole reason why I fell in love with coaching. Because all of the therapy that I did, it was think about something to fill out a form, you know, a little worksheet. When the worksheet was done, I put it away. And then the rest of the week, I'm not thinking about it until I go over it with the therapist. But coaching is about practicing stuff in the moment constantly. You know, I realized like with my anger, I couldn't practice peace when I'm peaceful. I'm already there. I'm in that state. So I had to get myself into an angry state in order to practice peace. You know, and that's why I would drive on the highway in the slow lane, cussing everybody out. You know, but for, and now even my daughter the other day was like, man, you and mama like switched when you're driving. Like, mama's just so angry. Like, somebody starts to come out from a stop. She's like, yeah, go ahead, do it, do it. Yeah, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, go ahead, dude, it's all good. You know, like it's so funny, like how like that switch that happened was because I started practicing in the moment. You know, and people that when they talk about like I'm hopeless, that's it's a horrific feeling, but it's also such an incredible place to be because now you can practice hope. You can't practice hope when you're full of it. It's there. You know, but when you're hopeless, now you can start working that muscle, and that's what it all comes down to.
I love that. That's so beautifully said. You know, you have provided your girls with such a cool model of change and the fact that you can change at any age. Like, I don't know if you've ever acknowledged that about yourself, but
I
as a
struggle with that.
yeah, I'm sure your girls look at you and know that they can do anything, they can become anything they want, right? They can become kinder, more empathetic, or they can become, right? Because you have changed so drastically and you've showed them that you're such a different person.
Yeah, my oldest daughter, she's the one that I wrote to when I was in Bosnia. And didn't know me. Like when she read that, she was like, that's not my dad. Like, I have no idea who this is. It almost like repulsed her to read that stuff. And then 7 years later, when she reread it from this, she's like, I actually see that guy now. You know? And she's about to publish her third book. Dude, she went to school full time, worked full time, planned her wedding, and wrote a book. And I'm like, I'm getting up at 11 and then complaining that I have no time to get things done, you know, that there's just too much, you know, for me to do. But I'm giving myself like the hours of the 4 to 5 are like my work day. And I'm like, I can't get shit done. There's just too much, My other daughter, I mean, dude, her and her husband persevered through things that would have broken other people. And she kept this mindset of it's gonna be okay. I don't know how, but it's gonna be okay. And it turned out everything turned out good, and now she's starting a cookie business, like, 'cause she loves baking. I love that stuff. But the part that I struggle with is I always look and when I see something that maybe some anxiety or whatever, I'm like, yep, I did that. And it just hits me like a sledgehammer.
I have that as well with my son, where I struggle either for things that I did that I'm more conscious of now, or the big one for me is, oh, I married a drug addict and had a baby with him, right? And chose a bad father for you, right? It's hard not to get into that, like, I was responsible for this. And yeah, when I notice myself in that place, I actually try to talk to my son about it and say, I just talked to him about this with self-care, because when I was raising him, I didn't value self-care. I was working really hard, right? I was a single mom a lot of it. And so I didn't teach him about the importance of spending time with yourself. And now that I know that, and I see him struggling with that, he does not take enough self-care time. And I think, oh, I wish I could have taught this to him. I shared that with him, and he's like, thanks. Mom, I'm learning it too my own way. It's fine, right? But it's hard because as a parent, you want to just do the best by your kids.
You don't want to see them go through, you don't want to see them go through the growth that you went through. You just want them to be there.
Yeah, and that's not the way it works.
Because it's removing that pain, but that I don't even want to say it, but that pain, for me, it's easy to say, like, the pain is a part of the growth, but for I don't want to say it about them, because I want them to just be there.
I know. Yeah, it's very hard as a parent. And there's no doing it right. There's no parent out there that hasn't caused something that's gonna need therapy.
Oh my God. Even in relationships, like, Sandy just got home from work. I heard her walk in and then she just turned the AC off. And so there's going to be a major fight. So turn the AC back on. She just told me to shut
So
up.
funny. I think
Yeah,
that.
it's. We always worry about what we're going to take from other people. You like that whole saying about, like, I'll show you the quality of your life if you show me the five people that you're with the most. But we never think about what we're leaving with other people.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, dude, I think it keeps us kind of responsible for ourselves.
Yeah, I'm trying to come up with the right words, because that's one of my blocks. Is in my heart, I want to be really big and I want to be extra nice to everybody and make everybody feel special, because I love loving. I really do. But I'm so scared of being that big. That I'm afraid if I tell somebody, oh, I love your skirt. Oh, you're so beautiful, that strangers are going to think I'm weird. I'm afraid that my family doesn't want to be that close to, right? There is a lot of fear of connection there for me that I need to heal, so that I can be that big person and fully live into impacting other people. Because even if I think I can positively impact people, it's like I want permission to do that or something, and I don't think I have it.
Something as small as, like, seeing someone, like, nice skirt, nice hair, whatever. But so quick, also, like, if somebody does something, like, bumps into me or pisses me off, like, I'll tell them whatever I need to tell them in a second. But to be nice, like, we need permission to be nice.
Yeah.
That's
And
so backwards, man.
I know it feels weird, but that's what I notice in my body when I think about being responsible for how I impact others. And I imagine myself behaving in the ways that I would enjoy behaving. I feel like I don't have permission to be that weirdo who's like nice to everybody.
Yeah, that.
What a funny thought, right? Like, I don't, it doesn't make any sense, but it's there in my head and it stops me from doing things.
And it's one of the things, like, it's almost like emotional archaeology. Like, I want to dig down and see where all of that stems from.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And like we've talked about, there's my personal archaeology, there's our cultural archaeology, my family archaeology, right? There's levels and levels of how these belief systems are impacting us. And I think understanding where they came from can be useful, but I don't think you have to understand where they came from to change them, right? I find
Yeah,
it interesting, so
100%.
I like doing the work, but you can just reprogram your brain without finding out why it's.
100%. Yeah, that's such an important point, because I didn't know half of the reasons behind why I did what I did, for years after I started doing this stuff. For, I mean, after the changes had been made, because we can focus on those things. And those can be negative things. Like, why, like, one of the things, like, if I get anxious and I'm focusing on why am I like this? I shouldn't be like this. Well, I'm focusing on my anxiousness, right? And then that little cliche that's always used, like, where focus goes, energy flows, right? I hate the cliche, but it's true, you know? And there's science behind it besides just like a nice rhyme scheme. And so since I'm focusing on not wanting to feel that, it's driving energy to it, so I feel it more. You know, so I don't have to deal with a lot of the traumatic events in my past to turn my focus onto good stuff and start building the strength of gratitude, of love, of joy in my life, and then start seeing how that aligns with me. You know, like, I, in fact, I was talking to this dude, Solajer, right? He is such a freaking cool dude. And I always talk about, like, I play the fool, but, you know, inside there was always a shame associated with that. And then he said the same thing, like, he's just a silly dude. And I'm like, wait, that it's okay. You know, and now I'm like, yeah, I play the fool. Like, I'm gonna do this stupid thing
Right, you
because
have permission, right? That's
In fact, last week, at pool, my wife was she needed a little bit of help, so we can call timeouts, right? So she called a timeout, and this guy named Pat, who's like the best pool player on our team by far, and he went over to give her a timeout, but he made a mistake. He left his phone unlocked. So I grabbed his phone, I went to his text, and I scrolled down to a group text, and I just wrote, "I have a rash, send," closed his phone, put it down. Right? 5 minutes later, I just hear him doing the speech test. Like, I have no idea how that got there. I didn't send that text. Right? Turns out it was another pool team that he's on, and that was like his sister-in-law responding, like all these question marks. Right? 10 minutes later, he goes to give like another timeout or went to do something. And left his phone unlocked again. So I had already confessed to it. You know, we had a good laugh. So, but then I grabbed his phone to the same group text. Like, I really do have a rash though, you know, and like that. And it just made everybody laugh. I'm like, it felt so true to me. You know what I mean? Something so small, insignificant, but it put a smile on so many people, like in mine included, face that night, you know? And it's okay to be an idiot.
I think your natural expression of being the fool is akin to my natural expression of like falling in love with people, right? It's like
Yeah.
the way we are naturally when we're at our truest form, and yet we both have this sort of like, I'm not allowed to be that version of myself, right? I'm not allowed to fully live into that natural expression. And so, yeah, that's fun to like Okay, that's the next challenge. Really live into that with other people.
So I wonder if you feel this like the same. So for me, when I play that fool, like to me, the opposite of that is, I don't even know how to say it, but like the sort of the tough guy, the warrior, you know, and I feel small, almost like emasculated by that being sort of like the leading personality of myself. But for so many years, I tried to live in that other side of the personality, whatever you want to call that. You know, even talking about it like this, like there's a part of me that makes me squirm because I'm like, this is not who I am, but this is just where I've gotten to. This is now the reality of my situation, you know? And I feel like that's what led that anger, trying to be something, to lead with something that I'm not. And now I see it as that part of me exists, but it's like a demon that is locked in a cage where it needs to be. And it can come out when it needs to, but I don't need it to lead anymore. You know, and so it's a softening of that feeling. It's lost the shame. Like, so I'm wondering, like, with you leading with like that loving everybody, do you have like that alter ego that tells you like I need to be in charge?
Yeah, so for me, how that would show up is being aloof. Oh, I'm just cool. Whatever. I'm better than everybody. Like, I don't really care if I'm invited. Like, I don't care if nobody's talking to me at this party. Like, I'm better than all of you guys anyways, right? Like, aloof is my retreat, and that's where it feels safe. And I feel like an aloof person is kind of like they don't have any like major feelings, they don't have needs, right? I don't need anybody. I don't have to. And when I get uncomfortable, that's where I have a tendency to go. And then the result of aloofness is disconnection, right? So then I don't have quality relationships in my life. So those are like my two extremes. And I'm somewhere in the middle now. Like I don't think I'm living fully from that aloof character that I lived from before, but I'm certainly not fully into my love character. And it's because people have given me feedback. You know, when I was executive director a few years ago, I even had my board president say that in my job review. He said, "You know, you're a little too friendly and nice in your emails, and I think it makes people uncomfortable." And that, you know, I've gotten that feedback a couple times where people feel uncomfortable. And I've been thinking about this and thinking, okay, so my response to that has been, well, I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. I'm going to stop being loving. Like, I'm trying to make you feel good, not uncomfortable. So I'm making you uncomfortable. But now I'm starting to think, well, wait a second. If I'm just love and they're uncomfortable with it, that doesn't have anything to do with me, right? Like, and trying to separate myself from their reaction of me. And it doesn't matter if I've gotten that feedback 100 times in my life that I'm too nice. Those are the 100 people that aren't in their own heart.
And just like that, I this picture popped up in my head of the environment, like this office environment in a square building, in a square office or a square cubicle with your square ass phone and your square computer, like everything
Literally.
has to fit in that box. And you were just beyond that, you
Yeah.
know? So they say, okay, well, there's something wrong with you. And then unfortunately, there's always going to be like, okay, well, that level of niceness, that level of love, that is going to be a trauma response. Like, but what if that's just you?
Right.
Like, is it, I think my criteria comes down to like, is it bringing life into me or is it keeping me from life? Like, so like I can people please and stuff that keeps me from life,
Yes.
but I can also help people out that brings life into me, empowers me.
Yes. Yeah, a good example is we had a game night a few nights ago playing cards, big, you know, huge game of hearts. I don't know if you play hearts. And my friend had brought a new friend. Her name was Rose, and she was so incredibly delightful. Like, I loved her. She was just so wonderful to have a part of our group. And when she left, in my heart, it's like, go over and give her a big hug and tell her you love her and you want to play with her again, right? Like, that's my natural, like, child's, expression. And then, disciplinary and like control Mindy, the yard duty teacher in my head's like, no, why don't you just go say thanks for coming? That's normal. That's what a normal person would do. And I didn't, right? I followed my child this time and I gave her a big hug and told her that I just loved her and she was such a delight. And right, I let all that come out. And because that felt so good to let it out, to be that person. And I don't know if it made her uncomfortable or not. Seemed okay in the moment, but the next day I had a little bit of a vulnerability hangover, right? Like, I should have just said, thanks for coming. I'm normal. Don't think I'm weird.
Dude, one of the best episodes of SpongeBob I ever saw was when because I mean he everybody knows he's the weirdest dude like in Bikini Bottom. And so like he got tired of everybody like calling him so weird. So he saw a course on late night TV on how to be normal. And he started doing it, and then he like his square edges started to round. He started losing all the holes, and he would just walk around and be like, "Hi, how are you? It's crazy weather, huh?" You know, like everything changed about him, and he became like this normal person, just fit in with everybody else, you know. So we look at people that are outside of the normal and we hold them up. Those become our stars, you know, our entertainers, stuff like that. But then for the rest of us, get in your fucking place.
Right.
Your job is to be normal.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, and I think that's this when you play the fool or I go into being a loving person, that's what catches us, right? Is this idea of like, nah, that's not really normal, right? Stay in this tiny lane, stay in this box.
And it just feels so like real, almost like you have in those moments you actually experience reality. You know, like I remember I was walking and there was a girl that was kind of walking a little bit behind me and stuff, and she was on the phone and talking about this guy like being in a relationship and stuff like that. And when she finally passed me, like it was just one of those things that just came up, you know. And I was like, I think his name was Eric or Aaron or something. I was like, fuck Aaron. And she just started laughing and was like, hey, have a good, you know, but just like that little interaction like felt real.
Yes, that's exactly right. Like, if it's naturally arising in you and it, right, it should be able to be expressed without all these rules about it,
And then you have like, and I see it a lot in older generations too, like where you have everybody needs to know my opinion. And it has nothing to do with that. You know what I mean? Like I saw a video of this guy, some country singer, and it was at not a big name or anything like that. And there was a lady like at the show and she was like, oh, I love your music, but I hate your beard. And he like stopped the show and was like, why did you feel the need to say that to me? You know, like I don't ever want to like if I have an opinion like, oh, stupid shirt makes you look like a lumberjack, you know, whatever. Like, why am I going to say that? Like, that's just it's tearing you down, it's tearing me down. You know, but if I say something like when you wear your Wayne's World hat, I'm like, party on, Mindy. You know what I mean? It's there's just another quality. There's another energetic level to that.
Yeah. My brother-in-law was staying with us the last couple of days, and I was sharing with him how comments on Instagram are like that. I posted something about like loving to work out, and somebody wrote on it like, well, this is a bunch of bullshit or something. Okay, whatever. But he showed me this SNL skit, and I'll link it in the comments because it's so funny. it's why'd you say that? And their contestants are there and they go to their Instagram page and they're like, why'd you say this? Because like all these rude comments, it's hilarious. It's so funny. I'll have to link it.
Yeah. Oh man. Do you ever see those like things like celebrities read mean tweets?
Oh yeah, that's so funny.
And I love like too like when they laugh like because some of them are like hysterical and even they find the
Right.
funny in it.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've only had like one like where some guy was like, you know, this is so stupid, you know, whatever, you know, and I was just able to respond. I mean, it made me laugh. So I
Yeah.
just put like laughing faces after, you know, like in the response to it. But and because that's the thing too, like when you start doing figuring out how to love yourself, when you break away from the shame, from whatever that makes you feel that makes you not want to do that, and you start doing it, those comments lose the sting to it.
Yeah, absolutely they do. Yeah. Your funny story with putting a message out to the group text on your friends, which I love. I've never done that. You put a great idea in my head. I'm like, but sometimes what I do that I think is really funny is you can change the ringtone on someone's phone for a specific caller. So I'll go in behind my husband's back and change the ringtone for my number. And you can even do custom ringtones. So I'll record something like, my wife is really hot. And then he'll be like in Target or something, and his phone will start going off. He's like, my wife is really hot. My wife is really hot. When I call
That's so awesome.
it's just a little false surprise that I like to do sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, we've lost the, I don't know, man. Just we're too serious.
Yeah,
You know,
totally.
like life is it's beautiful. There's miracles that go around us all the time, and we've gotten like way too serious over shit that does not matter.
Yep. It's all part of the big construct that we live in. Yeah.
Yeah, and being able to challenge that and figure out how to live in our society, in our culture, with this like actually. Oh, dude, I just saw it. You got the whole Harry Potter section, dude. I love that, man. I was like, wait, I know those books. Yeah, that's so awesome. Have you ever read Tiger's Curse?
No.
Oh, dude. All right. My kids got me on it, and I will read those now, like once a year, like I did used to do with the whole Harry Potter series. It is the
Oh, I'll check it out.
coolest series. Like, I don't know what's better, the Harry Potter or the Tiger's Curse series. It is freaking cool. You got to check it out. Yeah, now I'm on a Harry Potter thought train, so I don't know what to say, man.
You know what's so funny about Harry Potter is when those movies started coming out, I was still in my Christian phase. And so I was like, I'm not watching these. These things are probably satanic.
Yeah. I didn't read the first book for years. I think it
No.
was like 7 or 8 years after it came out that I actually it was right. In fact, right before what? Because I took my kids. I thought it was for kids, but apparently it was not because it was a bunch of like, you know, like older people all dressed up as wizards and stuff with wands at like this because it was a midnight. I should have known it was midnight. And I'm bringing my like 10, 11-year-old kids to get the new Harry Potter. And it's just all these older people that think they're witches and wizards there. It was kind of awkward, but yeah, so I think it was like around like the sixth or seventh book that I started actually reading the series. Because like I believe that whole thing, there's spells in there, you know, like actual spells that like from the devil, you know, and I'm like, dude, oculus reparo. It's just freaking Latin. Like, what spell? Avada Kedavra? Like, I mean, like, dude.
I actually think this is a great example of, when I look back on that now, I'm thinking, why was I giving Harry Potter so much power? Like, I thought that it would bring Satan into my house and like destroy my child, right? Because that was the programming. Now that seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the belief systems and mindsets that we're talking about today, right? The hope is in that 5 years, we're going, wasn't that funny when we thought that we couldn't be, when I thought I couldn't be my most loving self to everyone? How ridiculous was I, right? Like
Yeah.
that next level of growth where you recognize an old mindset and it's just so not true for you anymore.
Oh my God. Yeah, dude, sort of like when my TV tells me that my Apple remote needs charging. And I remember when we got our first VCR, it was when the Giants won the Super Bowl. I want to say it was like 83. And my dad said, like, if the Giants win today, we will buy a VCR. 'Cause like VCRs were like $800, and $800 was a whole lot, then. And they ended up winning. So we went and bought one, and we had a remote with it, but you had to plug it in, and it had like a 20-foot cord that like my mom would trip over and stuff like all the time, So like how far we've come. But then we like, oh man, this is pissing me off, That's gonna be interesting to look back at and see.
I love thinking about how the future, no matter how hard I try, I have no idea what it's going to be like for me, for my marriage, for my friends. Like you create, right? And you dream, and that's powerful. But because of the way the universe is and fate or whatever you want to call it, you have no idea what it's going to be like in 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, we might get hit with an asteroid.
Yeah.
I'm there's one that's passing close by soon, and if it doesn't go through what they call a keyhole, like it'll be pulled off orbit from either the Earth's gravitational pull or like the sun's, something like that. And I think it's called a Paphos. And if it doesn't pass through this keyhole perfectly, then when it comes back around, like in 2036, it'll hit California. Or like right off the coast of California, something like that.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, we don't know what is gonna happen. I did a video like on falling in love with the most idealized version of yourself, and somebody had commented like, this sounds like the pursuit of, or like the never-ending pursuit of happiness. I'm like, yeah, I could see that. I could see how that can become if all we do is dream. So it's taking those actions behind the dream. Like the dreaming is cool, but if we don't take actions, they remain a dream. They remain in the ether. It's pulling it down and making it tangible.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about this before, like if you take the concept of time out of it, what you're visualizing or dreaming about, your body is experiencing. What I'm actually experiencing, I'm experiencing, right? We have this idea that those things are different. But if we're present in the daydream and we're present in our life, all that separates is it is time, and time is something that is man-made, right? And so you can get kind of weirded out if you're like, what if I just don't consider time?
I want to learn about like so you have space time, but then you have time, and the time that we talk about, if I remember correctly, like it was sort of invented back when the locomotive came into play because they needed a schedule, and then from there we have first shift, second shift, third shift, because we have these 8-hour blocks of time. And all that time is just man-made to keep the energy or the engine of production running. And we're just that cog to fit into place for a specific period of time, for that 8 hours to keep that production going. And it's not what life is.
And there's so many things associated with time, right? How long this takes, how long that take, how long did your marriage last? How old are you? Right? And I was realizing if I just told myself that I was 35 instead of 45, I would regard my work and my life completely differently. That's silly. I feel like what I feel like, right? I'd say I feel like I'm like 35. So I should act that way, and I should pretend that I don't even remember how old I am, because, right, in some tribes, you don't know how old you are. Because as soon as I think, oh, I'm 45, oh, I'm 5 years away from 50, oh, I'm not allowed to wear that, oh, I can't dance in my TikToks because I'm an old lady, oh, because I, all these like rules about being 45 come on to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. I never realized how much junk I was holding about my age. It's nuts.
Yeah, Joe Dispenza talks a lot about that, how our mind can create, in my head, I'm 12. Like, I'm gonna laugh at, like, in fact, I just saw an ad for this camping toilet. Like, basically it's like a seat you sit on, and then like a hat you put on that these camouflage drapes just fall around all around you, and then you can just go. But the way they did the commercial was like, you can use this when you're camping, when you're hiking, at a barbecue, at a funeral. And I'm like, how fucking funny would that be? Like, I want, like, at my funeral, that's what I want people like all doing, like sitting there, not in seats, crying, like all in these little potty tents, man. Like, oh, dude. But like, my body feels like there's certain things it feels, you know what I mean? But I still act like I'm 12.
Yeah.
Even because even that whole thing, like for a second, like my mind goes down that thing, and like everything else disappears, like a kid does, and then like the serious part pulls back. Okay, we're speaking about time and how, like last night, my dog was like cowering from all the fireworks and stuff, and Sandy was laying next to her, and I tried to get on the floor, and my knee was like, yeah, fuck you, dude. So instead of like gracefully going down, it was like half gracefully and then half plop. But I got there, and then you just laugh at it, So yeah, things are gonna break down, but I'm gonna stay young in my head, man.
Yeah. So let's this next week, I'll try to live in to being more loving when it comes up, and you try to live in to being more foolish when it comes up, the jester.
Yeah, Sandy's gonna love that.
Yeah, and let's just share with our listeners next week what that felt like, how that showed up for us, and because that would be fun.
Beautiful. Yeah,
And
that'd
then
be cool.
for any listener, choose your own thing, right? Whatever your natural expression of self is, and try to lean into it this week. See how it feels.
Yeah, the thing that you try to hide the most.
Yeah.
Live through that lens.
Yeah, very cool. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody. This was a great episode. Thank you, Keith. See you guys next week.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are so grateful for all of our listeners. Please support us in doing what we love. It's as simple as hitting that like or subscribe button. It would really mean a lot to us. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week.